We got our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, joining us now. And Vern, Yarbrough was a name you had mentioned to us over and over. Barlow's not going to surprise anybody. When you look at who the Royals were able to move, I mean, these were the names that I think a lot of us expected them to be able to move.
Yeah, yeah, and you're hopeful that the return will bear fruit for this franchise. You're happy that despite Scott Barlow's recent struggles, he's still able to bring you a guy that ranks top 10 in your farm system, according to MLB.com. I was just talking with JT. The guy that surprised me was Jose Kwas, the fact that you were able to get something for him a few days ago. But yeah, Yarbrough, Barlow, happy that, as we discussed, you were able to get a player for Nicky Lopez. And the guy that we're going to watch tonight, Cole Reagans. That to me is the, I don't want to say the biggest prize, because you hope the 17-year-old or the 19-year-old or the two 21-year-olds, you hope they become stars. But Cole Reagans might be the prize of this trade deadline. So a pretty big start tonight, his second in the big leagues, and now he's in the rotation. So he's going to have 2 months to make his case that he should be in the rotation and help give some of us some belief into 2024.
And what did you think of the balance in all these moves, going back to the Chapman one as well? Like, if you're an organization, you know their farm system is not in great shape. You know your big league club is pacing for history, unfortunately, in terms of losses. And yet, when you look at the moves, it seems like in some of them they did focus in on just truly getting the best trade possible, and they got some A-ball guys. In other moves, they clearly got some guys that maybe, like Velasquez, that has a chance to be on the big league club later this season.
Yeah, and you know, the players that are over the age of 26, you know, you hope for the best. Even Velasquez, again, I'm just mentioning how surprised I was that you got something in return for Jose Kwas. So I'm really not holding my breath that the 24-year-old, sure, that has shown pop in the minor leagues, but Nate Eaton shows pop in the minor leagues. What do you do in the big leagues? We'll see what he does, and hopefully he gets every day at bats before this season is complete. You're hopeful for the young arms, but honestly, I think what we should be doing now is looking back at last year's trade deadline, understanding that JJ wasn't in complete control, but you need time to judge. Just like I'm not going to be able to judge, Rony Cabrera or Hank Williams or any of the other guys you acquired yesterday, really not going to be able to dive deep into them for a few years. You look back at last year's trade deadline, and it sure does look like a win.
When you look at the just number of moves, Vern, I don't know the exact number of years, but you've been covering this team for a decade. Is this the most active they have been in a single year transaction-wise ever?
Oh, boy.
And your run.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm being prisoner of the moment. I'm certainly at the trade deadline. I can't remember them unloading five players the way that they did. So I think the answer is yes, but again, some of the Taylor Hearn, the lefty that he got from the Angels,
Tucker Davidson,
good. Hey, welcome to the team. I don't know if I expect you on the team in 2025. So that's not, for as much as you want to talk about, they got some guys for the future and some guys for the present. The guys that you got for the present, respectfully, fit right in. They're not.
They're
not anything that you're getting all that excited about. Now, as I say that, the way that you become the Rays is by turning Jason Adam, a guy that I know I couldn't stand when he was a Royal the last time. Could not stand watching him pitch. It was maddening. Rays turn him into a star. They've done that with a lot of relievers. The Royals are going to need to do that. Guys that I scoff at when you bring them in, turn them into a player. That's how you go from a small market doormat to a small market power, is winning in the margins by that Tucker Davidson turning into something, despite the fact that, my bald ass is sitting here putting him down.
Oh, we've all been there. We've all certainly made those decisions. But when you look at Vern, the big moves that he was talking about, I think, first off, I think he seemed excited about the possibility of it, which I think is a positive sign out of JJ.
Sure.
But we know one of those was Salvi. Was the other one Singer? Who do you think it was?
Salvi, of course. You can clear $20 million off your books. Yeah, that would excite me if I'm a general manager. No
he seemed borderline giddy about it, like talking about how close they were on some of these bigger deals. I know Salvi was one, but it sounded like there was a second player. Who do you think it was?
Carlos Hernandez. I mean, he mentioned Zach Greinke, Brady Singer, of course. We know Annie Rogers put it out there that the Dodgers came calling about Brady Singer.
Yeah.
So, one of the names that they should be entertaining and guys that you should move this offseason, talking about Salvi, talking about Brady Singer, those guys should be moved this offseason. Now, I also want to caution everyone to pump the brakes. As someone that covered the Green Bay Packers for a while, they were the best at this. As the trade deadline passed, and it's, oh, we almost got fill-in-the-blank great wide receiver. They always did that.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that's what JJ's doing. Again, you look at his track record, he's had a very nice trade deadline last year, a nice offseason this year. Chapman and Yarbrough, you flip them both into prospects. That seems to me, in a evaluation season, like a nice offseason for Piccolo. But until you trade Salvador Perez and stand up there and answer the questions from people crying from the television media and the, you know, beat writers or whoever it might be that'll be brokenhearted when Salvador Perez is traded, let's see that happen. Let me see you part with Brady Singer, because it's easy to talk about, but pulling the trigger and parting with Will Myers, parting with, Brandon Finnegan, getting rid of Sean Manaea, that when it's your name at the top, it's easier said than done. I need to see him pull the trigger.
When we had JJ on, he did acknowledge, though, some of these conversations, though, might put them, Vern, in a better spot in the offseason to get a deal like that done. Like, it has right to happen, but perhaps that this sets the table for an offseason that I know you've discussed with Salvi or Brady Singer, but also packaging players to go get, you know, a front-end rotation type of player. Do you still believe that's the only way they can do that this offseason? If you look at the free agent crop of pitchers, not just the finances, but even the names, they don't really excite you.
I think with opt-outs, those names, I think there's going to be many more quality names on the market. Yeah, if they feel like spending, if they can't acquire that number one via a trade, I think they have to spend it, unless you're going to come up with some other clever name for what 2024 is going to be. You know, this is evaluation season. This is let's check one more time season. You need to address the pitching. Now, trade is the most likely, and why, you know, Salvador Perez isn't traded yesterday and is more likely to be traded in the offseason is because all the bad teams can now get into the conversation. It's no longer a, do you want Salvi for $40 million for 2.5 seasons, and he jumps into a playoff race for a good team, which is, you know, four teams, I think, Yankees, Rays, Rangers, and Marlins are the squads that would be interested in a guy like Salvador Perez prior to yesterday's deadline. But this offseason, you can throw in the White Sox. You can throw in almost half the league because you get an immediate leader, a guy that sets a standard for a clubhouse. Your catching position, the middle of your lineup, is set for the next two seasons. And he joins you in spring training and can create that camaraderie with his teammates. It's much easier to flip Salvi in the offseason. And then also, you got to take into account that I don't believe this can be viewed as a money dump, because I'm not trying to bend over backwards for ownership and excuse money dumps. Now, we talked about Nicky Lopez, why mm-hmm. that is a money dump and why that's an understandable money dump. Salvador Perez is all in. This is a guy that has said, okay, yeah, you know what? Freddie does deserve a few more at-bats. Yeah, I will play first base. I will be a DH. Salvi's doing the right thing. So if you're going to part with him, Royals, I need you to eat $20, $25 million so you can get that top prospect or you can get that number one starting pitcher. This can't be a, hey, we'll take some double-A left fielder
who's too old.
Take the entirety of this $46-some-odd million that remain.
Vern, now that we're past the All-Star, or not, now that we're past the trade deadline, what are the two or three things you think you're most interested in watching for the Royals the rest of the way? Because Bobby Wood Jr. playing like a star is at least probably at the top of my list.
Yeah, and, I hate to say that the evaluation is complete on Bobby. That seems somewhat premature, but everything that I have marveled at when it comes to Salvador Perez, the fact that he's the same guy every single day with that positivity, that energy, that standard, that work ethic, even though his team's 20, 30, 40 games below 500 and he's banged up. That kind of love for the game and the work, Bobby has that, and Bobby's 10 years younger. It's so I was going to say, you know, the professionalism, right? Most teams right now are either getting a kick in the nuts as you trade away your best players, or you're getting a jolt of energy because Max Scherzer walks through the door, or Justin Verlander is suddenly your teammate again. How do these young Royals, and I want to say outside of Bobby and maybe even Mikel Garcia, but how do these other young Royals, how do you finish this season? We got a third. I mean, one whole third of the season still remains. You got a chance to make some big moves, make some big statements for a spot on the 2024 team. So the professionalism of the young batters, do they start giving away at-bats because we're out of it, it's a million degrees, all we do is lose? They've won four in a row, so it seems like the answer is no. That, to me, is number one. Cole Reagans would probably be number two all by himself. He could answer, you know, he could be what we've hoped Daniel Lynch would be. You know, Lynch, just injury-wise, we're not able to bank on him right now for the opening day roster in 2024, but Cole Reagans might be able to give us some solace in that fact that there's going to be a lefty, whether it's Lynch or Reagans. We will have one lefty in that top three of the rotation.
A third of the season, that's a lot of on-deck shows still to go,
that's daunting, isn't it, when you put it that way?
Ooh, my
and
goodness.
Mahomes is happening? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, right around the corner. Thursday, Vern. Tomorrow, preseason football, baby. Canton, Ohio.
It was nice knowing you.
Maybe you can win the Mega Millions, and then you could just, you know.
Nobody won last night.
Sadly, I would still I would finish out the season, even if I won.
And then would you buy the team and spend $400 million in payroll like everyone wants, you know?
I'd join the ownership group.
There you go.
But I don't think I would buy the team.
Sitting comfy in the suites. That's the way to live.
Yeah, just go out to the mailbox and grab the check every once in a while.
That's all you need. Vern, appreciate it, man. That's